Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, October 24th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we discuss why on earth these people want me to change my good and decent money to some kind of digital money, some kind of cyber money, you know, on Saturday. And not only on Sunday, the International Culture Wine and Food Festival had my good money change. And I'm trying to find out why on earth they did that. And they talk about some kind of cyber wallet. They're trying to empower Bahamians, give Bahamians another option, especially for the family island. And I say, okay, I have a credit card for that. So I'm going to a specialist, a person whose business is to business virtual, to digitalize people's business, to have a computer footprint in the way they do business. I have G.R. Wilson, and I was going to try and bring up his bio, which I don't have it right here. G.R. Wilson, who's the founder of G.R. Wilson Consultancy, a digital agency focused on helping local businesses to get online and to use internet to grow their business. You know, and their core services, e-commerce design and development, website design, digital marketing, consulting, process analysis and improvement, software sourcing, and it goes on, right? And so I invited him because I saw one of his comments on social media where he was trying to explain the hiccups that was experienced on Saturday and Sunday. And then a lot of people were vexed, you know, saying, man, this don't make no sense. You know, why can't I just use my credit card over there? What happened to the cash? Are they like the cash being exchanged for the funny money? And I say, let me call G.R. Wilson and ask him if he won't come on the show and explain some of this to me. Then downstairs, as Erin was going downstairs and we were shooting the breeze and she's giving me some insightful points. I say, Erin, you busy? He said, no, man, I'm going home soon. I said, man, come up with me. I want to put some questions to you because I know you're in the festival. You're a festival woman. You have experience at these things. Because I remember buying punch from you. I'm sure at that International Food Fest once upon a time.
Yeah, I was trying to punch you.
He was trying to punch me. Let the mic come up so they can hear you. Right? And I started to say, perhaps Erin can give me some insight on why they changing my good, decent money to this digital thing. Especially when I have my credit card. So I won't critique this international cultural food event and what went well, what went wrong. And I also want to enlighten fellow Bahamians on the new normal, because this seems to be the new normal. So I'm going to let G.R. Wilson, Garmin?
Yeah.
Garmin introduce himself first, and then I can let Erin join me. I can let her poke.
Okay. It's a pleasure to be here. I think this is the first time I'm on your show, so congratulations on the show.
Thank you very much.
And I am the founder of G.R. Wilson Consultancy, and we do e-commerce, website design, e-commerce development, process analysis and improvement, software sourcing, and the like. Basically, any sort of digital services. And, you know, I'm a believer that being on the internet is, you know, the way to go for businesses today. It offers massive improvements and massive efficiency for businesses. So, of course, when I saw, you know, things like digital wallets, this festival going cashless, everything to do with it, I was excited by it. I'm excited by, you know, I personally only use digital currency. Well, I use my credit card, my debit card, as much as possible as opposed to cash. So I'm fine with being cashless. Of course, you know, there were some hiccups. And so I made a comment on Facebook, which I think you saw,
yes,
explaining my experience with the process.
And let's go into detail on that. What is exactly was your comment?
Well, basically, I break down the process of downloading an app, loading cash on it, getting verified, loading cash, and just being getting the app working to go out to the event. Now, I did this at home. because I realize anybody that's been to a festival before, particularly this festival, the International Food Fair Festival, you know the crowds and the lines that are out there.
Yes, I anticipated the lags. Right. And this is where we got the concern, because my sister-in-law, she was going out there. She had some spare money. She planned to spend big, right? So she said, you know, she called me from home and said, can I come down and download the app for her? It had two sets of verification. That first verification and second verification. The first verification went smoothly. I said, man, this is easy, man. You could have done this yourself. The second verification wasn't that smooth, you know? And they asked for two identification cards, and I said, I didn't anticipate that, but I should have known because I have other digital wallets, right? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, boy, I hope they didn't ask me for no passport because, you know, I'm still in that transition, right? And that was going smoothly until I tried to load money in and things.
So part of the problem, too, is that, first of all, when you talk about digital wallets and Sand Dollar, but maybe we should talk a little bit about Sand Dollar as well, there are multiple apps, right? There are multiple apps that you can use. So there's not only the, I don't know if we want to mention names, but there was not only the title sponsor app, but there are all these other apps that you should also be, should have been able to use or should be able to use at the festival.
Let me give a list of all because none of them advertising, you know, but I want people to understand what is this wallet thing and where are these places to go. First of all, I want to read what Sand Dollar is. Sand Dollar is a digital version of the Bahamian dollar, right? It's like cash. Sand Dollar is issued by the central government of the Bahamas and is authorized to be used throughout the Bahamas. So I want to stand there. Sand Dollar is actual real money. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to this festival, it's as if you are using real money. I brought that up because it ain't just like using real money because they just tax you. But I can bring that up because I can bring, that's what about Aaron coming in. Because, you know, Aaron, they're charging people a percentage every time they do a construction, a transaction. But I ain't want you coming in. I still want come on to explain because this is where the controversy and you can lead that charge.
So here's the thing. Anytime that you're doing anything on the internet, what I explain to people is that all it is a digital version of what you do in real life. So Sand Dollar is the digital version of cash, right? The particular vendors that you talk about that provide the wallets, they are the digital version of banks, right? So you have, it's the same thing. I've seen people online saying that they don't want a third party to have their money, to be holding their money. Well, the third party is already holding your money, which is the banks. The AFIs, or the authorized financial institutions, are authorized by central bank. This is, I'll give you the names. I think it's about seven of them. Canoe, Mobile Assist, SunCash, Cash and Go, Island Pay, Omni, and I think Money Max. Mm-hmm. So they're authorized by the central bank. And so in order for them to become authorized, they had to go through a vetting process, right? So they are just basically digital wallets, or could be a digital version of your bank. They can hold your cash. And so with your money on there, it's just like you say, it's just like cash, and then you can transact with that wallet. The reason for the move to, I think, digital currency is for efficiency, is for operational efficiency. It's for convenience, and I think it should also be for you know, just reducing the issues around securing it, transferring it, that sort of thing. I'll give you an example that I think it could work. Like, if you were on Facebook recently, I saw somebody posted their young nephew or somebody bought an iPhone, cash, and went home, didn't check it, went home, it wasn't working. Person scammed them, blocked them on everything. If that was a transfer via Sand Dollar on an app, then that couldn't happen. That person would have had to verify who they are in that app. And they, of course, if it was a fraud, you could go to the police, this is the person. Mm-hmm. So it provides security of transactions and settlements. And of course, it's great for those persons who are unbanked, who may not be able to go into the bank and open an account, or who may not be able to get a credit card, or for those islands that, you know, there's no banking branch there. I had a client who told me he was going on an island and he wouldn't have access to any banking, so I have to wait, you know, a couple of weeks till he come back.
So, in long and short, Sand Dollar is a good thing. These mobile apps is a good thing in terms of it empowers people.
For me, I think it could be a good thing. I think, you know, we can't run away from technology. In this country, very small country, I don't think that it's beneficial for us to be anti-technology. We need to
A lot of people are grumbling. They didn't want to use their phone.
You come down to change and then implementation. So we have the high-level concept, but then how do we implement it on the ground level? That's where we are running into issues.
The ground level.
In this country.
Let me bring Aaron into this conversation.
Aaron itching to come in.
Aaron, what do you think went wrong? Because, I mean, no, Sunday was pretty well. A lot of the comments that come out on Sunday said that everyone basically said, oh, it was smooth. But Saturday, something went wrong. What went wrong?
What I gathered from the commentary from vendors and patrons and people who wanted to be patrons but couldn't for some reason get in is that there was a lack of testing.
Mm-hmm. No, but they tested at all of the festivals on the Family Island. I saw them advertise and said at Last Regatta, they're going to have sand off.
Yeah, but they didn't test the dynamics that was specific to the ice or to large New Providence festivals, right?
Okay.
By the very nature, there are going to be more people there. They didn't test the timing. They didn't test the logistics. One of the things I read was that there was one sign-up booth for people who needed to create a digital wallet there. But it took more than 5 minutes to 10 minutes per transaction getting people signed up. One booth, hopefully they had 10 people, 10 individual offices processing patrons at that booth, but surely somebody must have realized to the speed, the urgency of the matter required more resources, more people, and a larger space within which to process those people. The complaints that I've heard of people who were unable to set up digital wallets, they attempted to set up these protocols before they left home to go to the event, and people had great difficulties in that space. A reason why I'm going to say there's no excuse for that is because there have been constant complaints from regular, ordinary, multiple digital pay services, right? Digital wallet services and digital transaction services. Multiple complaints. And a number of those complaints, of those issues, arose on the Saturday for many patrons.
Do you think the complaints was warranted?
Yes, of course the complaints were warranted.
What I'd like to add is that on Sunday, I went on Sunday, yeah, right? Because I wanted to avoid the Saturday crowds. I avoid crowds and lines like the plague, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I left with my kids on Saturday, I left around 5. And if you see the lines, it was crazy because you had a line to go in. This is what happened out there. And I don't know, Cecil, you went?
No, I didn't go to this. I had another party.
So when you came in, there was a line, of course, to come in. When I came in at around 2 o'clock, it was four people ahead of me. But you have to decide whether, okay, you're paying with Canoe or you're paying cash.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're paying with Canoe, you're on one line. If you're paying with cash, you're on another line, right? And then you go down, you have the band to put your money on or to sign up for the app.
That was an added plus.
That was another line, right? And so now you have three lines. So when I left at 5 o'clock, there were three massive lines of people trying to get in there. And I was like, this is madness. I would not, me personally, I don't like standing online. So that's why I did my thing online before I even came out. So like Aaron was saying, I think that there should have been more planning ahead of the event. There should have been training of the vendors. On my update that I post on Facebook, I say there's a possibility that there were one or two vendors that might have been defrauded as well. Because when I paid a vendor, they just accepted my... They wasn't looking at anything to see if any payment came through. They didn't look at my phone to see if a payment came through. That they just said, okay. And I walked away. I could have faked that transaction, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it needed to be... Anytime you're introducing... They changed the location,
yes,
right? And you introduce technology, new technology. Two types of new technology, Sandal and mobile wallets. So you're introducing change to a population that we've already proven that we don't like change too much, that we're not technologically savvy. So you needed to have, first of all, you need to have training on the vendor side, detailed training. You needed to have a good marketing campaign leading up to this event to educate the population. I could imagine again, and I put this in my Facebook post, when I signed up, it was frustrating with the verification process.
Yes.
It was unexpected, and it was frustrating. I'll talk about that a little bit. But I said I could not imagine trying to do this on a line.
Oh, Lord.
You know what I mean? So I, you know, and to the public's, I don't know why people would decide to go out to a place where they're going to stand on the line to get something done. You know what that is going to be.
Yes.
So either I was doing it online or I wasn't going.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and to the committee, listen, there was that festival. I don't know who put it together, but it is complicated. It's a huge project management. There's a lot of moving parts. And overall, from a person who attended, I'm going to say to them, it was a good festival. I don't know what the KPIs are to say whether it was successful or not, from which angle. But overall, I think the layout, the performances, the stage, the audio, the vendors, I think it was successful from that standpoint of me seeing it and going there and
definitely well attended. But let me read this text and I'll go to the caller next, right? The Sand Dollar digital wallet rollout was poorly planned and the internet kept crashing. The smart vendors took cash under the table. Yeah, I heard. I had a cousin who said she paid cash for the entire thing, you know? So, but in every systems, in every schisms and isms, you know someone who were able to work around a system. But let me get this caller, so producer Patch, the caller through. And Aaron, I want you to speak. What should have happened? What should have happened? Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, CA.
Good morning, there, Graham.
You know, as one of the local experts when it comes to crypto, and in 2016, having been on the Guardian radio with Wayne Johnson and myself and Lester Farcox radio show called Connected, we explained that it would have been better for the country just to go straight to a crypto Bitcoin. But should we want to have a regulated currency that the government can tax more easily, we could have had a conch coin backed by our natural resources, giving it intrinsic value when it came out of the gate. But look what we've done. We've done a brittle sandy dollar. And the problem with that is we have not good internet. We have bad ISPs. We have people that don't charge their phone because, you know, things are tough. We have a bad electricity grid, and electricity runs any form of blockchain or digital or cryptocurrency. You know, I could come and do a whole show with you, and I'd like to bring Lester Cox and Wayne Johnson, but let me tell you what I thought was going to happen this weekend. Sorry I missed it, because I wanted to film an analog country trying to go and perform digitally. I'm quite sure there's a lot of spoilage because the vendors couldn't sell. But what disturbed me the most, and I recorded it today, is that the authorities cannot even tell me how many digital transactions occurred. Now, I would have thought the central bank would have known each and every transaction and how much it was. Let me tell you why. When we get rid of the paper money, and I'll wrap up with this. When we get rid of the paper money, that's the goal. We got rid of the penny. Checks are going to be going away next year, coming. Not this year, but the following. And we want to get rid of the paper money. We want you to go digital. Here's the problem. If I give a young lady, the money doesn't go to their account. It goes to their Sand Dollar account, to which the government can instantly remove their tax, right? And any fees or VAT before it even hits the person's account. Now, that's good for legitimate business. But what about if I give my sweetheart $100? And five people give her $100. The government's going to know, and they're going to take that out of it. And then they're going to ask her about her business license. And then their Inland Revenue is going to say, does she have a business license? And NIB is going to say, did you pay your NIB? And they all can take the money straight from your phone. It's not like, see, someone said, no one, I believe it's your guest, said that my money's being held by a Canadian bank right now. Maybe. But if I go down to Zuma to Regatta and I take $500 in my pocket, no one's handling my money or holding my money. And when the internet's not working and the lights are off in Exuma, I could pull out my $20 and buy my tongue salad. But see, when all those things are down in a country that has poor infrastructure, you know what you could have? No sales. And I'm telling you, I bet you the sales results. I want published in The Guardian, and you guys can send a reporter, the sales results from 2018 and the sales results from this event. And I want the Central Bank of the Bahamas and the Canoe and Sand Dollar community to publish tomorrow in The Guardian how many transactions and what was the total amount. we are not digitally prepared. But the, I suspect the big boys around the world are going to use us as guinea pigs and destroy our business. You see, because this CA is going to destroy the small businessman when he can't accept any payment because the bank won't take paper money no more because you got to use this digital thing. But I tell you, and I'm leaving you with this, the minute every country in the world goes to a digital currency that's highly regulated, we know every dollar you spend and who you spend it with, and sweethearts included, et cetera. No more bribing politicians, I can tell you that. You will see Bitcoin and cryptocurrency go through the roof because people will be looking for some kind of payment that's not traceable, trackable, and regulated. I go on with that one. And any day you and Aaron want to do the show, and the gentleman who's your guest, let me come on with Dwayne Johnson, and let's finally settle this discussion on what we're trying to do to our people that ain't gonna work, bro. Don't say it's for convenience. It's for tax purposes and for the government to know every dollar you spend and where you spend it. Tell me I lied. I gone. Y'all have a good one.
I wonder which show Graham talking about. Anyway, we go on with the first commercial break. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary. And when we come back, Aaron's going to give me some ideas of what should happen. We'll be right back after this short message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me. Cora?
No, man. We could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. And this is C.A. Neary, and we're going back to Aaron Green on what should happen. What should happen?
Well, the first thing is two things.
Mm-hmm.
Much better marketing of your product and your services to both the wider public and your vendors. But the second thing is beta testing. Beta may not even be the right word. Testing your system. They should have had a run-through. Why? Because they know they have issues with connectivity over the large space that they use at the Botanical Gardens. Now, the nature of that space is different, but the nature of the call-in space is different, but similarly complex, right? They should have done a massive data, internet connectivity testing over the site. They should have stipend people, fed them to come in and mill about and hang out. Top peak hours in the area, right? And peak hours of the festival, because your entire system runs on connectivity. And it's not just I need to be connected, but I need continuous connectivity. I don't need this drone, right? And with so much uncertainty with a new system about what happens next, right? Have you held that information in your system? When I get back online, do I just need to continue, or do we need to start the whole process over again? But testing of the entire event, walkthrough. You hire 200 people to walk through the space, determine how long it will take to process 10 people, 30 people, 50 people, 100 people, right? All of those things are required. And if you are here, right, with the connectivity you have, if you are here at this sign-in booth using all the data, what data is left? What data is left for the rest of the vendors? All of those things should have been tested. Where your hotspot areas, right? Where your areas where they drop and there's just absolutely no coverage available. There's tons of testing they should have done. The online, the pre-event sign-up testing, they should have hired people or stipend people to just sit home and test the sign-up.
But Aaron, I want to say that moving forward, this is the new normal. Sand dollar is here to stay, more likely at all the festivals coming moving forward. See, we can be using sand dollar and we can be marshalling people to cheat, open up a wallet and spend money that way.
Watch this. The irony is you're using sand dollar because you can't get the Canadian banks to work with the people they're supposed to be serving, right? So you need to figure out how to provide this legal currency to people on the family island outside of the banking structure. That's why you had to create the sand dollar. Right? The sand dollar is useless if you cannot provide consistent, developed nation standard, consistent supply of electricity, data service.
So you're trying to say that sand dollar is first world and we just ain't there yet.
We're dragging people into a future that we refuse to prepare them for or prepare for entirely. Mm. And so why this becomes important, right? Another issue is the lack of protections, right, from fraud on the other end. Let me tell you why this is important. Because I come to this festival, something doesn't work. I have no idea why it doesn't work. I don't know if it's because of fraud or if it's because of dysfunction in your system. I don't know who to turn to. Where do I go to make a complaint? What information did I need to document at the time of the transaction to submit to the complaint? And so sand dollar is fine. In a similar way, you want us to use the sand dollar, test every system. So we talk about the future. What are you going to do for the next event? Test every system. Do a real-time, real-world beta testing. Bring in the people before you get any vendors to sign up to do your event.
And G, I'm coming to you next, right? But I want to get this caller. I want to ask you, basically, people were saying that they were getting, as they do each transaction, they're getting taxed even more money. See, this is my concern. If I spent $2, I would know I only spent $2. I can't be spending $2.10. I didn't intend to spend the 10 cents. I didn't spend intended to spend the extra $6. I believe someone robbed me. And no one explained to me why I got to be paying extra money, saying I got this is transaction fees and the idea that I'm using someone app. I don't want to use the app. I want to just use my money. And no one is explaining to me why. But let me go to the caller. Producer Patrick, call her through. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good day. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
I don't know if you watched American Greed this weekend, or if any of y'all watched it. It was a couple that went through $1 billion of Bitcoin, and they also, the government can't find $146 million, although they went to jail. They still have outstanding $146 million worth of these, the people money who in the Bitcoin thing. Now, the next thing, because I'm letting you know these things are not soundproof. The next thing, do you think the people that just who's going to get minimum wage in January, $250, you think they're going to go to the sand dollar, and or they're already short? And here it is, you say every transaction that they take or do, they're going to be taxed for it. Cash is always king. What you're going to cause is another underground world. You can't, because the poor people are not going to use it. They're not technically savvy.
But they gotta be technically savvy, and they gotta use it. This is our new concept.
It don't matter. You see, when during the Prohibition, Al Capone became very rich. Although it was the Prohibition on alcohol, he became very rich and very powerful. They had to create a law for him. So what they're going to do now is create another big problem, the poor people thing. These are things for people who have money and a good income and don't mind and want to look savvy, show off, and all of that. But the poor man who's eating noodles and what the little hot dogs call, which I remember in the can.
Sausage?
No, not sausage. They got
Weenie.
Vienna
sausage. That is what they're buying. Do you think now you need to tax them on that also? The government is becoming a hog.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
What more they want? What they want to do to us now?
And I think if you sort of take away...
Thank you very much, Carla.
If you take away the trepidation, right, Mr. Wilson was saying, it's not... Forget this idea that the government is trying to scam us, right? That there's crookedness or corruption about. There's a real basic principle that people are trying to hit on, which is, why do I have to spend... I have to pay money to spend money. Why, if I'm trying to spend $5, do I have to pay a dollar or 50 cents or even 5 cents to spend my dollar?
So let me address two things. This concept that, you know, people are not technology savvy. We need to put that on the side. Because everybody is using mobile apps. Everybody's using WhatsApp, using every latest TikTok and doing every dance and figuring out how to do your TikToks and whatever. I think we're technologically savvy, right? And I don't have to be able to adjust to some of these basic technologies. Using a mobile wallet is not that difficult. You scan a QR code, you put in your amount, and you hit send. The challenge is, hold on 1 second, the challenge is getting signed up for this thing and getting verified and all of that, and then making sure that it works properly on your device. Like you say, there should be more detailed testing, to address the festival part of it as well as using it. There should be testing of your app. You should be testing of the process. There should be training of the vendors. And then most importantly, you should also have support. Like you say, you know you're having this big festival. You know you're having all these people sign up. You should have increase your support. They should be online, live, being able to respond.
And educate your people.
Respond to people in a timely manner. So you don't have the regular support. And I think that's where a lot of the fall down came. If, you know, uncertainty creates frustration and lack of use.
And so the mistrust isn't in the technology itself. It's in the
process.
In the process, which is consistently poor, consistently decenters the consumer, mm-hmm. right? I don't know. You want me to pay at the pace of the world? You refuse to provide the service or perform the service at the pace of the world.
I think we don't understand, and we see this across the board, private companies, public companies. We don't understand how to roll out new technology. We don't understand how to manage change, right? So we roll out a technology, and we leave it up to the person to figure it out.
Mm.
Anytime you're rolling out a new technology, if you've ever signed up for anything online, the first thing they do is they say, do you want to go through this tour? And they take you through step by step. This is what you could do. This is what feature is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're signing up for something like that, and it gives you a little explanation of what it is. So this is called usability,
right?
User experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're lacking.
Also understand the nature of your client. Your client is a Bahamian who don't like to ask questions because asking questions would suggest you don't belong in this space, right? And so it's not just that you have the tour at the beginning. That tour needs to now be culturally sensitive to be able to pick up on the questions that Bahamians would ask. And so instead of just saying, you want to go here, say, here are four questions. Any of these are your questions at each stop, you know, mm-hmm. and present the questions as well.
And I have another caller, and I'm going to go to the caller right now. But I want to, since Wilson went to the festival, how did you get your money back off your wristband? I want to know about that. But hold on, let me go to the caller first, and I want to know where that money is, where you change. Where you change? Because I can't have it in cyberspace all my life. I want to know where the money is because I want my cash back. Go ahead, caller. Producer Patrick, call her through. Caller, are you there? That's no caller there, producer?
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, it's gone. Oh, I see another green again. Let me make sure before I move all together. Hello, that's you, caller?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, I was a vendor at this event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in our meetings before this event came to par, they told us that they were going to incur the costs for every transaction, right? first they tried to institute charging us 1.75 for every transaction. We didn't get the device until the morning of the event. We had no hands-on training at all. Mm. Everything was last minute. The venue was changed last minute. Then they introduced this digital change until it was even maybe a couple of weeks away, 2 weeks maybe. And it was the internet keep dropping. The charges, every transaction was 15 cents, 13 cents, 8 cents. It was just a disaster.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you calling because I need the feedback. And I want to give the feedback to the organizers, right? Because sometimes when Bohemians complain and be critical, they say, oh, you just complain for complaining's sake. When we just confuse, right? Because I mind you, I'm actually charging you all vendors because you're all making money. I talk about charging me, you know? I shouldn't be charged because if I want to buy a $5 conch fritter and it says you get, for $5, you get 8 fritters, I don't expect to be paying $5.10. I want my $5 fritters and my 10 cents got to be there. And I'm hearing that there's an extra charge on that, you know? But thank you very much, caller. I let Wilson go and explain on what happened to the money.
Okay, Cecil. Interesting comments there from the vendor, and I think it sounds like they made a number of mistakes when you're introducing new stuff. Like, you know, there was no training, last minute everything. You know, you're asking for a disaster when you take that approach. So I would say definitely planning is a major part of it. Something like this, the size of that festival and the amount of moving parts that you have, you need to really have that planned way out. You know, everybody needs to be comfortable with the technology. They need to know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and what have you. But Cecil, I want to address your fees comment. Now, what options? So they wanted to have the options of credit card and debit card. Well, if you have those options, you're going to pay fees on them as well. So I don't necessarily hate the fees. Fees are a part of transactions, right? If you're using a credit card, you are going to pay fees to the bank. Now, you may not pay it right there, but you are going to pay it. You're going to see it on your statement. And the vendor, the businesses that accept credit cards, they're going to pay anywhere from 4% to 7%, maybe more, on their transactions.
None of us are happy about that.
Right. So, exactly. So, when I heard about, this goes back to when I first heard about Sand Dollar. We talk about a use case. I was saying, okay, awesome. This is a great thing. We can chop those fees down. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would like to see is a comparison between the fees for Sand Dollar and a comparison for what you would pay for your credit cards from the vendor standpoint and the consumer standpoint. Are we paying less? Because if we're paying less, then it's a win for me.
No. Listen, it doesn't matter because it's a win for the government. Because the government couldn't convince the Canadian banks to do what it is that they are actually constitutionally obligated to do. They're supposed to provide equal and equitable access to those services regardless of island that you're on. So you couldn't get the banks to do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So you can't operate with cash on those islands. Why am I paying you a fee? Because you couldn't get the banks to do what they were obligated to do.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
And this is the critique is in response to the, y'all don't like technology. You are afraid of the future. You don't want to go into the future. Y'all don't like new things. You just want to be stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. But those are valid questions that need to be answered by us.
So what you're going into now, Aaron, is you're going to be talking about economics and you're going to be talking about the scale of this country. You have a bank the size of RBC or FCIB, and their yearly profit, whatever, is in the trillions of dollars. And so you have these banks that are operating in the Bahamas. These are foreign banks. Don't hold me to that figure, right? But they're foreign banks, and they are here so that they can make money. So if they're operating in a small island, let's say the size of a Bimini or a Long Island, they're losing money.
But they're not operating in a small island the size of Bimini.
And even the size of this country, the Bahamas.
They're operating in an archipelago, but let's not say that without acknowledging that Canadian banks wouldn't be Canadian banks without the Caribbean. We wouldn't be having a conversation about the prestige of Royal Bank of Canada and this and that if they weren't able to build that status on the backs of this particular market.
Fair point. But I will say this, you know, that's not how businesses operate. You can't operate on the past and sentiment. They have to operate for their shareholders for a profit, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have if you're losing money, they're not going to be losing money. They're not going to take that
they're
loss.
They're not losing money. I ask you to prove to me where they have incurred a loss. They are not making as much profit as as much profit as they would like to make, but they are not actually losing money. If they were losing money, I could understand that argument. They just not hitting the profit margins they wish to hit in this environment, which suggests that they would be willing to hit different profit margins in different environments.
So, quick, I know we have a caller. The way those businesses operate is they operate on projections. You see it on Wall Street. You will see company stock fall because they didn't hit their projections, even though they made a profit. So for an organization to operate in this region, that's why they keep trying to make the entire region one, the Bahamas and the entire Caribbean, for all of those Canadian banks, because they're trying to spread their costs around the entire region because we are a small country and we are considered a small region for them. But anyway, we go way off topic.
Absolutely, but just as we go, small region with one of the largest profitabilities.
You're making money off us. But I see I have another caller there. And Aaron, I want to ask you this. Was this event a tourism event? And if it was a tourism event, why we had two major tourism events competing with each other? I found that odd. Take the call, because I just found that odd. Like, two major tourism events competing against each other? There's something wrong. Oh, anyway, let me get to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. And good day to your guests, and Aaron, you too. Listen, the event on Saturday, I really wanted to go, but when they talk about the digital sand dollar and the digital stuff,
you got intimidated.
I didn't go. I go every year, but I didn't go because I felt like I was not prepared for it, and I'm glad I didn't go listening to you guys talking about the long lines and
Sunday was pretty good. People enjoyed themselves. It was a successful event after bypassed that initial setup.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to push this digital thing too much, too fast. I understand we need to move and grow, you know. I miss that 100%. However, I feel like we should do it step by step. We shouldn't just push it out there. Because even in the great America, they had, hundreds of years in existence before us, and you can go and spend cash the same way you can use your car, the same way you can use digital funds almost everywhere. But here, it seems like they're trying to just obsolete cash and just go digital 100%. And I don't see that working, not for the type of country and atmosphere that they're in. I don't see that working. So I feel like they should do certain things and give you the option of, like they say, credit cards, your bank, your debit card, your cash, however, give you that option. So if I choose to walk in with my cash, I feel comfortable. But if I was to go there with my cash, I would have been uncomfortable. I feel like I'm odd.
You would have traded that in, ma'am.
And I don't want to trade it in. I am on to you yet on if I get my change back. If I put $100 on my bond and don't use it, how do I get that back?
You would have to go buy that and spend it with the Chinese.
Was that explained?
I don't do Chinese. I go to Super Value.
Well, ma'am, let's ask him, Mr. Wilson, was that...
Thank you very much, caller.
Was that protocol or was that element of the service explained on sign-up? What happens with unspent dollars? Because in the festival, you would go to the bank, you would get what they call funny money festival dollars, and then you could turn those festival dollars in, but they would essentially be a donation to the festival at the end of the event. Did they explain to you what happens to money that you load for the event or at the event that you don't spend at the event?
I don't know about the bands, but I know for the mobile wallets, my money is on my wallet.
So it's still there floating?
No, it's not floating. That's my money. That's your wallet, like you have in your pocket. I could spend it anywhere. I could withdraw it to my bank account or my credit card, which I use to deposit it on. You don't lose your money.
So you can transfer that money back onto your credit card.
Okay. Now, I don't know with the bands, but I'm telling you about the app. The app, it's like having money in your physical wallet. You take it with you, right? And you could spend it anywhere that they accept Sand Dollar or whatever wallet you're using. If you're using Canoe or what have you, or Sun Cash. I use Sun Cash.
I'm using a MasterCard wallet. I want to know if it go back to my MasterCard.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's what I
If you use MasterCard to put money on, they should be able to withdraw back to that card.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what happens to the people who went to the festival and they put it on a band for them. I don't know what's going on there.
Right, if they use the cash option where you have your cash applied and they put it on to the armband. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know if you just lose that or what.
No, and I asked you as a participant, a patron, because somebody said online.
But Aaron, we have 5 minutes. Yeah, I want to know why we had two major tourism events at the same time and that was planned. Go answer that.
I think that they thought that was a good idea. Because, you see, ICF had already began a transition to a different sort of style of event. It would have been an upgrade, and elements of it would have been high-end or activities that you would expect to see at the Bahama Culinary and Art Festival, right? Maybe they decided that they can't lose out on the Bahama event, right? And they have to reinvigorate the local food fest event. And they knew that they couldn't possibly achieve what they were hoping to achieve, which was some of the elements of the Bahama event in this 1 year. So they probably just decided to do both. But my concern is if Ministry of Tourism actors are involved as a vendor, my concern for vendors is how do you prove to me that you have focused on my event and you not just focus on this other high-end event, which was spectacular from the critiques that I've seen. No issues. I've not seen a complaint or an issue about the digital pay.
Was it cashless?
Huh?
Was it cashless?
People said it was cashless.
Okay.
You know, people said the Bahama is cashless. It's in Bahama. It's cashless. And I didn't see complaints, you know, about it. And if I were a vendor, that would lead me to ask some questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you prioritizing one event over the other? Can I ask the question, was this event not a success? Did we have this much dysfunction because you weren't focused on my event and you were focused on this other high-end event? And this is something that we're going to have to focus on generally in terms of festival tourism, because the thing is not going to work unless we can have multiple festivals and multiple types of festivals happening at one time. That's the way that the festival tourism platform works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the event organizers and the state actors that are facilitating and supporting these events, they're going to have to do a better job at transparency, at communication to the stakeholders and the general public about what's going on, and to potential investors and participants in these festivals, so they'll know the environment that they're entering.
I have some people who were saying that there was no additional charge for the fees to private entities, and that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But I have one more caller, and then I'll go back to you, Garmin, just to explain your business one more time and make sure people can assist get assistance from you. But go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're live.
Check to see if both of those were tourism promotions, because I understand the food festival was private by a former tourism executive.
Is she former? She's still there.
You mean the Bahama event?
No, she said International Food Festival. With Miss Janet.
Just check and make sure.
No. Yeah. She works there. She works for tourism. That's a tourism event.
Okay
then.
And we know it started. It's really sort of a UNESCO event, and tourism partners with the Ministry of Culture to pull off the event, right?
Yes, it's globally significant, and it's significant to the social fabric of the Bahamas, right? And I see we have 1 minute. Go ahead, Garvin. Remind me of the number.
So, well, I just want to say that I support the digital currency and the move to that. So I think it's a great thing. I hope they learn from it. And, you know, I hope it becomes better.
How can I find you to continue this conversation and for interested?
grwilsonconsultancy.com, or you can call me at 809-2725. We do e-commerce, website design, software sourcing, and digital consulting.
Okay.
This is Guardian Radio in the AM. Thank you very much, Aaron, for staying back. I appreciate you. And I see you again on Wednesday. We have a joint show there.
Yes.